Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here, letting you know that today's podcast was sponsored by Helping Hand for Relief and Development. Helping Hand is a leading Muslim nonprofit organization that has a top star rating by Charity Navigator. Over the years, I've had the privilege of working with them, and they've helped people from over 80 different countries around the world. They've worked for disaster relief and emergency relief in Palestine, Myanmar, and many other countries, Kenya, Somalia, Kashmir, Pakistan, and Haiti. To learn more and to be involved in helping the lives of other people, visit their website at hhrd.org.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Abdul Nasser Jangda. If you enjoy and benefit from listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting support.qalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free with you, and your donation ensures that we are always able to do so. Each podcast we produce has tens of thousands of listeners, so the opportunity for gaining immense reward by supporting this effort is endless, inshallah. You never know who will be able to benefit from your contributions and donations. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, continuing with our study of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Tafsir al-Quran. We've been studying Surah Al-Baqarah, and we started into the second major section of Surah Al-Baqarah, which is a very, very large portion of the surah. We talked about this a number of times. Over 100 verses, over 100 ayat that spans for more than a juz. And it basically is a very in-depth analysis and discussion about Bani Israel, or Banu Israel, the children of Israel, the people who came from the progeny of Ya'qub, the prophet Jacob, Ya'qub alayhi salam, and who eventually were the followers of some of the great prophets of history, such as Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and even Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam, and many, many others. And one of the things that I wanted to, that I had not mentioned yet, was that what's very, very interesting is that in the hadith of Bukhari, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about the wisdom of this and the purpose and the reason behind this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ, that you indeed will follow in the footsteps of Bani Israel almost step for step. Meaning that many of the trials and tribulations that they dealt with, many of the pitfalls that they suffered from, many of the different issues that they dealt with and the different distractions and delusions that they suffered from, that you will go through all those same things and you'll basically face and deal with a lot of the same beats that Bani Israel basically went through. And this is the great blessing that we have in terms of coming after all of that history, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran revealed all of that to us. The Prophet of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he talked about a lot of that and gave us guidelines on how to navigate all of that so that we are able to succeed where they failed. So now, continuing inshallah, we're going to be talking about ayah number 44. And we'll be continuing from there, inshallah. In the previous couple of ayat, just so that we understand exactly where the conversation is picking back up from, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayah number 40 addressed them directly, Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel. اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم وإياي فرهبون. That remember my blessings that I showered upon you, and keep your promise to me, and I will keep my promise to you, and worry about me, fear me, worry about keeping your word and your promise to me. وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أول كافر به ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وإياي فاتقون. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, believe in that which I send down that confirms what you already had with you. The Quran is confirming again a lot of the same components in the same message that the Torah in the previous revelation had spoken about. And do not be the first of the disbelievers within it. Do not be the first to reject it. And what that basically means is that, first and foremost, don't be the one that starts that succession of rejection. Secondly, it also means that you are most likely to believe. So therefore, don't disbelieve, because for you to disbelieve in spite of knowing everything that you know, it would be particularly criminal for you to do so. وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Do not sell this revelation that I am giving to you for some measly, worthless scraps of this world. وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ. And be conscious of me constantly. وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not conflate the truth with falsehood. وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And another form of that type of dishonesty is, do not hide the truth when you clearly know what the truth is. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. And establish the prayer and give the charity, and do ruku', meaning go bow before God in congregation along with those who bow before Allah. So this is what we had read about previously. Beginning today in ayah number 44, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this general message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is going to be talking a little bit more specifically, a little more pointedly at their leadership. While, and I want to clarify a couple of things. First and foremost, allow me to explain a principle of tafsir that we have. Al-ibratu bi'umumi lafzi la bi-khusus al-sabab. This is a particular principle that we have when it comes to the interpretation of the Quran, which means that at the end of the day, we always take into consideration the generality of the words and the language that is used, and we do not remain confined within the specificity of the circumstances. So what does that exactly mean? That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a passage where Allah is talking to Musa alayhi salam. Allah is talking to Musa alayhi salam about when it comes to preaching to Fir'aun. So Allah is talking to Musa about preaching to Fir'aun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Musa and Harun alayhi salam, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَّقِينًا. That speak, both of you, when you speak to him, speak with a very soft and gentle tone. Be kind and be generous and be soft and gracious in your speech with him. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, he said it to Musa and Harun alayhi salam about them speaking to Fir'aun. There is a specificity to the circumstance. These are specific people. This is a specific situation that Allah is addressing. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used general words that can apply to any situation. It can apply to me for when I am speaking to my neighbor. It can apply to me when I am speaking to my friends. It can apply to me when I'm talking to just a random brother in the community. It can apply to me when I'm talking to someone I might even have some kind of conflict with. It's generally applicable in all situations that good, gracious speech will always be more effective, especially to start with. And so we do take that message from it, and we do take that lesson from it, because the generality of the wording and the language is always looked at, and we do not restrict ourselves to how specific the circumstances were. Okay, there's, and I mean, the examples go on, and you can continue to look at this. In Surah An-Nur, Surah number 24, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talking about when the hypocrites, the people who opposed the Prophet ﷺ and tried everything they could to make the life of the Prophet ﷺ very difficult, and they basically would harass Muslims and, you know, try to stab the Muslims in the back and so on and so forth. So this was a group of very, very bad, nefarious people. Well, what they did at the time of the Prophet ﷺ was they made up a rumor. They slandered the mother of the believers, Aisha as-Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. They slandered her. And they made up a very, very nasty rumor about her. And they tried to target her and go after her and cause great pain to the Prophet ﷺ and throw the whole community into confusion. And right, they tried to disrupt everything and really attack the honor of an innocent person. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses what they did in the Quran. Subhanaka hadha buhtanun azim. Inna alladhina ja'u bil ifki usbatun minkum. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these people who made up this slander of Aisha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how evil it is and how reprehensible it is and how terrible it is that they slandered her. But Allah says that very generally, that it's terrible to slander people. So while there is a specific circumstance that is occurring there, Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Sulul and the hypocrites in Medina slandering our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, it's definitely addressing that situation. But the generality of the wording means that we will take a lesson from it until the end of time. And that we will always remember and we will always take this reminder and this lesson from that passage about how evil it is and how terrible it is to engage in slander and rumor mongering about people. So the generality of the wording is supreme. All right? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks so powerfully. Right? And that's why we pay so much attention to the language within the Quran. So the reason why I say that is what we're about to talk about is relevant at three levels. First of all, this specifically what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing here is the leadership in amongst the Ahlul Kitab. Many of the religious leadership, the clergy class amongst the Jews and the Christians in Bani Israel at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah is more specifically addressing their leadership. Their rabbis, their priests, their clergy. Number two, because of the generality of the wording, it is generally applicable to all members of that community, the Ahlul Kitab. It is generally advising all of them that you guys need to understand and embrace this faith and stop resisting the acceptance of the truth. Thirdly, at a third level, at the most general and broad level, it is addressing all of us. There are profound lessons that we can take from it. We're not from the Ahlul Kitab. We are believers in Islam. We are Muslims. Yet it is still relevant to us. It is still applicable to us. And there is still a great lesson and benefit that we can take from this. So I wanted to just kind of lay that out before we get into it so that we're able to appreciate it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, we'll begin with ayah number 44. And as we always do, I'll recite the Arabic of the verse and then share what a translator has written on the translation of that particular ayah. Ayah number 44, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. A translator writes for ayah number 44, how can you tell people to do what is right and forget to do it yourselves, even though you recite the scripture? Have you no sense? So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ. So this is addressing in the plural form, in the second person. Allah is directly addressing them. And typically, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is condemning a group of people, and He does so in the second person, it is done in this particular manner to really strongly and severely rebuke and reprimand that group of people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not just saying, do you advise people? Do you command people? It has more of the tone of, how dare? So this kind of phrasing or this kind of a statement is called al-istifham lit-tawbih. Alright? Fihi taqri' wa tabkit. Which basically in the Arabic language means this is a question a question that is being posed to reprimand them, to rebuke them, to yell at them, if you will, to tell them that what they're doing is wrong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how dare you command people bilbir? You command people to do good. Now the word al-bir in the Qur'an, when you study the Qur'anic language and you particularly compare some words with other words and synonymous words and so on and so forth, the word al-bir oftentimes in the Qur'an, it represents the epitome of good, the epitome of righteousness, the amalgamation and the accumulation of all different good traits and qualities that the Qur'an talks about. All right, that's why you read in the Quran a very famous ayah that we're going to eventually get to in our study here of tafsir, which is called Ayatul Birr. ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى. So Allah mentions many great qualities, from believing in Allah, maintaining family relations, taking care of the poor and those in need in the community, praying, giving charity, keeping your word, being honest and dignified and respectful and responsible. It talks about all of that falling under the umbrella of this word bir, righteousness, piety. So here Allah says, how dare you people advise others, advise the community, advise the general public to be pious and righteous and good. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. When the reality is that you forget yourselves. Now what does that mean, you forget yourselves? Right? We're somewhat familiar with this expression, right? But to explain it more properly, what it's basically talking about is that then you do not act on that advice yourself. Then you do not do what you are preaching, what you are calling to yourself. You're talking about truth and revelation from God. And then when truth and revelation is in front of you, then you turn away from it. You talk about messengers and prophets. And there's a messenger and a prophet standing in front of you, and then you turn your back on him. You talk about honesty and integrity, and submitting and to Allah, and devotion and dedication. And then you just completely turn your back on all those things. You yourself are not practicing any of the good that you're talking about. وَفِيهِ مُبَالَغَةٌ لِلْتَرْكِ. It basically is saying, وَتَتْرُكُونَ هَذَا الْبِرِ. You yourself are not acting on that piety, but to show how severely you are abandoning and not acting on that piety, Allah uses the expression and the example of you forget yourselves. It's like it doesn't even occur to you that any of this is relevant to me. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. And you don't even have the excuse of maybe not knowing or not remembering or not recalling. When you actively read the scripture, you read revelation, you read scripture, you are literate, you are educated, you are well versed, you are well acquainted and well informed. You know exactly where you can find the answers to your questions. So you don't even have that excuse of ignorance or misinformation. But you very well know exactly what you're dealing with here. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you, like the translators, have you no sense? Don't you think? Don't you use the mind that God gave you? You know what's right and wrong. You can actually prove it. You can point to it. You can find the answers. And then you're out there propagating the message. And you have zero concern. It's not that you're falling short. And I'm going to talk about this in just a moment. It's not talking about the fact that you fall short. Like for instance, if I am telling everyone that, you know, you should say salam to each and every single person that you come across. أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ سَلِّمْ عَلَىٰ مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ. Say salam to those whom you know and those whom you do not know. Say salam to everyone. It's a sunnah. And I'm preaching this to everyone. Okay? And I am, you know, maybe in a hurry or I'm a little bit distracted. I'm looking at my phone. And I walk by someone and I don't say salam to him. That's a fault, that's a shortcoming. But that's just a natural consequence of just being human. Everyone will come up short and make mistakes. This is not talking about the Quran is not demanding perfection. It's not saying how dare you mess up. No. It's saying that you don't even care. You go about your business as if none of what you said is relevant to you. None of it applies to you. None of it is significant for you. And that's the problem. So there's a few things that we can talk about here and that we should take into consideration and something that we can discuss. First and foremost, I talked about the three layers of discourse here. Number one, this is targeting and directly refuting and rebuking the leadership at that particular time. And how so? That there were Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually mentions that When the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims came to the city of Medina, there were some members of the Jewish community who were considered the leadership of that community, and they were very knowledgeable. They were practically rabbis and leaders of that community. And they were always telling people, follow the truth and pay attention to the scripture and revelation and God's message. And then when the Prophet ﷺ came, and they had the first opportunity, the Prophet ﷺ even extended an olive branch. He reached out to them. He wanted to communicate with them. He wanted to talk to them. They completely turned their back. And they said, we're not interested in what you're selling. We're not interested in anything at all. And so this exposes their hypocrisy. And so that's the very first lesson. Secondly, As-Suddi, another one of the scholars of Tafsir, he actually mentions in Tafsir Ibn Kathir, it's related, that in general, the community of the Jews in Medina at that time, they were big advocates for righteousness and piety and religiousness and, you know, revelation and scripture. And they actually used to boast about their superiority over their Arab neighbors who were idol worshippers, that we are people of the scripture. We follow prophets. Y'all are pagans, heathens, who worship rocks and stone and trees and, you know, idols. And then when the Prophet ﷺ and the Qur'an comes in front of them, and they have no way to be able to counter and respond to what the Qur'an is saying, they completely turn their back on it, and all of a sudden they just abandon ship. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them out. And in general, this is a lesson that we can all take from as well. In general, this is a lesson that we can all take from as well. That we always need to be mindful of while we are doing good and being advocates of good and we are trying to share good and spread good, that we need to concern ourselves with our own souls. And that we need to concern ourselves with our own well-being and whether we are practicing this or not. It's very, very important. Al-wa'idh. Wajib ala al-wa'idhi an yabda'a bi nafsihi. Someone who is advising others to do good has to begin first and foremost with him or herself. وَلَا يَتَخَلَّفْ بِشَيْءٍ عَمَّنْ أَمْرَهُمْ بِهِ. And I need to exert a strong effort to not lag behind on what I am telling others to do. The Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam in Surah Hud, ayah number 88, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, he says, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ. I am prohibiting you from doing things, but I dare not contradict my advice myself. I'm telling you this is wrong and that is wrong and this is wrong. But I dare not contradict those things. Meaning he's stating that verbally, putting that out there. That I am first and foremost confirming that I will not go near the things I tell you to stay away from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran in Surah Fussilat, Surah number 41, he talks about this. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whose words can be more beautiful and exemplary than the one who calls towards God. But then it says, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And does good and righteous deeds. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And then affirms his place amongst the believers, those who submit before Allah. This is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in Surah Al-Asr. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. That humanity is in loss and ruin. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except for those who believe and do righteous deeds. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. And then they advise others, encourage others to do good. But that part of good action is built in. And that's very, very important that we constantly are mindful of this. And that someone, when you are advising others and when you are giving religious advice to others and good advice in general to others, that you are very, very concerned with yourself abiding by that same advice. Now, this brings up a little bit of a question. This brings up a little bit of a question. And that question is, well, can I then infer from this? Right? There's this mechanism of interpretation and mechanism of logic that is called mafhum al-mukhalafa, where you state something and then you derive or you infer from that the opposite meaning. So when I advise people, I must myself be practicing it and be concerned about practicing it. Can I then infer from that if I am not practicing it, then I should not preach it? Right? And that's why the wording of the Quran is so powerful, it answers these questions. Look what the Quran said. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. You're telling people to do good. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. It didn't say أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتُخْطِئُونَ فِي الْعَمَلِ. It didn't say that then you make mistakes. No. You completely forget about yourself. Like you don't even care about practicing it. So the Quran is not saying that if I'm not 100% perfect, that I'm never in a place to be able to give anyone good advice. No. The Quran never says that. It's reprimanding, it's calling out the person who goes about the situation as if it's not even applicable to them. Like I'm above and beyond this advice. That is what's problematic. That is what is reprehensible. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here. And furthermore, to kind of comment on this a little bit and to discuss this, because it's a very interesting point and idea. I talked about how it particularly is calling out leadership. It's particularly calling out leadership. On the night of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he talks about how he was shown different groups of people. People who were blessed, they were enjoying certain gifts and blessings of Allah. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Jibreel alayhi sallam, why are these people blessed with these gifts and blessings? Then he was told, well, they did this good deed and that good deed. They prayed on time, or they did this, or they gave charity. Then he was also shown a glimpse of some people in terrible, terrible punishment and torment. And the Prophet ﷺ was very perturbed by that. And he asked Jibreel alayhi salam, why are these people suffering so? And Jibreel alayhi salam told the Prophet ﷺ what their particular crime was that led them to this terrible fate. And one of the things the Prophet ﷺ saw was, he saw some people whose lips and tongues were being, their lips were being chopped off and their tongues were being cut out of their mouths with scissors that were red like fire. It was like iron that had become so hot that it's just pure red, made of fire, and it was being cut out. And when the Prophet ﷺ saw that, how horrific it was, he said, "Ya Jibreel, why is this happening to them?" And Jibreel ﷺ told the Prophet ﷺ that these were the evil preachers. These were the evil preachers of the ummah who would constantly exhort others towards doing good, but they completely ignored themselves. Like to the point where again, they just acted as if it wasn't relevant to them at all. So I'm telling everyone else to give charity. Sadaqah, sadaqah, charity, charity, sadaqah, all the time, non-stop. And I'm not even paying my zakat. Forget about giving sadaqah and charity. I don't even give my 2.5% of my savings. Fard zakat. Think about how terrible that is. That this is the fate of those people. So it's very severe. But I was talking about the topic of the fact that, well, what about the situation where somebody does care about them, about themselves, and they are trying to implement what they are saying and what they're doing, but they're not quite at the level of perfection, because perfection, none of us are perfect. None of us will be perfect. None of us can be perfect. كُلُّ بَنِي أَدَمَ خَطَّى. All human beings are prone to error. وَخَيْلُ خَطَّئِينَ تَوَابُونَ. The best of those who commit errors are those who recognize their mistakes and repent and make amends for their mistake. Nobody's perfect. Everyone's going to make mistakes. Everyone. So when I gave the example earlier, I'm telling everyone, say salam, say salam, say salam, say salam. And then I walk right by that brother because I was kind of distracted or preoccupied. And I walked right by him and I didn't say salam. I made a mistake. But then when somebody says to me, hey, you didn't say salam to that brother, I say, oh, subhanAllah, you're right. Absolutely. And I go tell that brother, salam alaikum brother, sorry I walked by you. That's that genuine, that's that sincerity. That genuineness, that's very important. But otherwise, when it comes to kind of expecting someone to be perfect before they could ever do any good, preach any good, then that's not a realistic expectation. Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, the great scholar, he quotes Sa'id ibn Jubayr, who is a great tabi'i. He's a great scholar of the Summa. He was a student of the Sahaba and the companions. He said that if everyone decided to refrain from enjoining good upon others and telling them to stay away from bad, until, because if everyone stayed away from enjoining good and forbidding evil, because they are a sinner, and because they are a sinner, they have no right to preach to others unless and until they have purged themselves of all imperfections, not a single person will be left in this world who would be able to tell others to do good. Because human beings will never be perfect. The Prophet ﷺ shared a factual statement, "Kullu bani Adam khata." Everyone makes mistakes. Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, that's exactly what shaitan wants. Shaitan creates this false notion of purity. False notion of purity. Imam al-Qurtubi mentions that Hasan al-Basri said, shaitan creates this false notion of purity that people should neglect their obligation to provide religious instruction and good counsel to others. Why? Well, I'm not perfect myself, so I can't tell anybody anything good. I can't tell anyone anything good. That's actually a goal of shaitan. That's how shaitan's going to cut down on the amount of good that's going on. Not only that, but this is a topic that our salaf, our pious predecessors, the early people in the ummah, were very keen on. Even specifically to talk about a very specific issue, there's the issue of riya, ostentation, showing off. They even discussed this issue of tarakul amali li khawf al-riya. If you are afraid that you might kind of care a little too much about how someone sees you and what you're doing, should you stop doing the good that you're doing? Because you're worried about maybe some problems there, some level of corruption there. They talk about this. Fudayl ibn Ayyad, rahimahullah ta'ala, great scholar, he said, tarakul amali li ajli nasi riya. He said, if you stop doing good because you're worried that people are looking at you, that is the very object of ostentation. You are the biggest show off. Because now you won't even do good before Allah because of people. Think about what that means. You didn't want to do it because of the people, now you're not doing it because of the people. How does that make any sense? وَلَعَمْلُوا لِأَجْلِ النَّاسِ shirk. And if you do it because of the people, then you're engaging in shirk. Then it's really scary. Not only that, but Imam al-Nawawi, rahmahullah ta'ala, great scholar, he says, لا ينبغي أن يترك الذكر باللسان مع القلب خوفا من أن يظن به الرياء. He's somewhat so in his Kitab al-Adhkar, he even says that if you are making dhikr, like if I'm sitting and reading Qur'an, if I'm sitting and reciting Qur'an, and I'm, you know, just it helps me recite and stay focused, if I read just lightly, like a little bit out loud, where somebody near me could maybe hear me reading, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, like I'm reading like that. And then you kind of become aware that someone's kind of like watching you or listening to you. And you just don't want to have any kind of conflation in your intention. You don't want it to mess with the purity of your deed. He says, don't stop reciting it out loud. Don't deprive your tongue the blessing of reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not deprive your ears of the blessing of hearing you recite the book of Allah. Right? So much, and there's, the list goes on and on. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, أَمَّا تَرْكُ الطَّاعَاتِ خَوْفًا مِنَ الرِّيَاءِ. That if you stop doing good things because you're afraid of that messing with your intention, فَإِنْ كَانَ الْبَاعِثُ لَهُ عَلَى الطَّاعَةِ غَيْرَ الدِّينَ. فَهَذَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُتْرَكْ لِيَنَوْ مَعْصِيَةً. You gotta ask yourself, why were you doing what you were doing in the first place? If you were doing something that's not a part of the deen and the religion, then yeah, you should stop by all means. وَإِنْ كَانَ الْبَاعِثَ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ الدِّينَ. But if you started off doing it because it was a good thing to do in the religion of Islam, كَانَ ذَلِكَ لِأَجْلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مُخْلِصًا. Then you did it for Allah. Don't let shaitan get in your head. Don't let shaitan mess with you, throw you off your game, throw you off balance. That's just shaitan coming and trying to mess with you. You should rather actually, whatever you're doing, take a quick pause, say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, and continue doing what you're doing. If I'm vacuuming the masjid, and it's like 7:30. Isha is at 8, 7:30, I came a little early, I said, I'm going to clean up the masjid, vacuum the masjid, get some good deeds, get some reward. Nobody's there at that time. Just quietly just do my thing before people come for prayer. And then one brother shows up early. He came early and he walks in. And then all of a sudden I just kind of hits me. Oh man. I just wanted this between me and Allah. And this guy's going to come, he's going to see me vacuuming the masjid, he's going to say, mashallah, mashallah, mashallah. I don't, you know, I appreciate the mashallah, but I'm not interested in what his feelings are about me. I just want to do this. Don't stop doing the good. At that moment, now that that's in my head, this guy's looking at me and this and that. That in and of itself is a level of ujub. I think I'm so important that this guy's going to care what I'm doing. How do I know he don't care what I'm doing? He's going to come, use the restroom, go make wudu, get a water, a bottle of water, come in the corner, pray his tahiyyatul masjid, pray his sunnah. Maybe he don't care what I'm doing. He don't know me, he don't know my name. He probably figures I work, I'm a janitor. Isn't that possible? But think about how shaitan's playing that game. Shaitan's making me think, oh, he's going to think I'm such a pious man. I don't know. So what you do at that time is you don't stop cleaning the house of Allah. You say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And then you keep doing your good. You keep doing what you do. So, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. And you read the scripture in the book. Again, this is a very important nuance and a very important note that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us here in this ayah and this verse. And I need to kind of emphasize it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is particularly criminal for you if you read the scripture, you read the book, you have knowledge. Why? وَيَزْدَادُ التَّقْرِيرُ لِلْعَالِمِ. Allah is more so rebuking and reprimanding somebody who has knowledge. It's more criminal for someone who knows right and wrong to do wrong. That doesn't mean that someone who doesn't know the difference between right and wrong is completely excused, because maybe they've neglected their duty to learn what is right and wrong. Does everybody understand that? If I know how to pray and I don't pray, that's bad. If I don't fully know how to pray in all the details of prayer and I don't pray, that doesn't mean I'm completely off the hook. Well, I didn't even know. No, maybe I should know. I had a responsibility to know. I know I'm a Muslim. My name is Abdul Nasir. I know I'm a Muslim. And so it was my responsibility. Think about everything else I know. Think about everything else I learned. Right? I know how to change a tire on a car. I wasn't born knowing how to do that. But I learned it. I taught myself. I know how to make coffee. I wasn't born knowing how to do that. But I learned how to do it. I know how to do it. I taught myself how to do it. I found out how to do it. I spoke to somebody about it. Why? Because I wanted to. So I'm supposed to take responsibility for myself. I'm an adult. I'm supposed to take responsibility for myself and teach myself and gain the knowledge of how to pray. But for a moment, let's go back to what we were talking about. It also at the same time does not change the fact that person A, who doesn't even know how to pray, doesn't know anything about prayer, and doesn't therefore not pray, that's still on them. They still got to answer for that. That's their bad. But somebody who knows everything about prayer, A to Z, and then does not pray, there's also no doubt about the fact that that person's actions are particularly more criminal. That person's more guilty. To whom much is given, much is expected. To whom much is given, much is expected. That comes with the territory. And so that's why it says, "La الَّذِي لَا يَعْمَلْ بِمَا عَلِمَ." Someone who does not act on their knowledge. فَلَيْسَ مَنْ يَعْلَمْ كَمَنْ لَا يَعْلَمْ. You know the Quran says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسَّوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, can these two people ever be equal? Those who know and those who don't know, can they ever be equal? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. We always quote that when we want to talk about the virtues of knowledge. Oh, look how virtuous people who know are. People who know are not like those who do not know. But it also means the other way around as well. The accountability, the responsibility, the liability, the sin on those who know is greater than upon those who do not know. We also should not get that mixed up. Alright? So this is a very, very important point. And we need to think about this. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this ayah by saying, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Which, if I may, I would like to explain it as, don't you possess common sense? Don't you have common sense? Because this is really honestly and sincerely a common sense issue. Nothing that was said here is rocket science. Telling others to do good and not caring about doing it yourself. That's very logical. A child will call you out on it. A child will call you out on it. I'll tell you a little story, a little example. A friend of mine, a very dear friend of mine, you know, they didn't want their little son, eating a lot of like sugar and cookies and candy and all this kind of stuff. So they were trying to cut down on the sugar, you know, cavities, and it's not good for the kids and things like that. So they're going to cut back on some of the snacks and sugars and things like that. But the problem was, my buddy, the dad, he himself, he had a big thing for like a particular type of cookie, like, you know, whatever, like Oreos or something. Like he just had to have his cookies. And they tell the kid, oh, this is bad. This is bad for you. Don't eat that, Baba. That's not good for you. Okay, okay. You know how kids are, they understand. Yeah, okay, that's bad for you. Someone said, I remember I was visiting their house one time, and there were some cookies there, and I was, and he's like, don't eat that. That's bad for you. I said, okay, good, that's bad for you. But something very interesting happened. The kid then says to me, he goes, don't eat that, that's bad for you. And then he says, it's Abu's medicine. I said, what? He said, it's Abu's, Baba's medicine. It's Dad's medicine. Huh? What? Like I was totally baffled and puzzled. And so I asked my buddy, I said, what is your son talking about? He called the cookies Dad's medicine. And he's like, yeah, man. He's like, I kept on like, you know, we were getting him off all these snacks and cookies and things like that. And then one day he catches me eating it. And then he's kind of like, why are you eating it? You said that's bad for you. And so then I had to make up something. And unfortunately, this is not parenting advice at all. All right. He said, I lied. And I told him it's my medicine. That's why I eat it. But my point just simply is that a child calls out hypocrisy. He told this kid, don't eat cookies, and his kid saw him eating cookies, and the kid right away said, what are you doing? So when Allah says, how dare you, telling everybody to be good and do good, and then you don't do it yourself. That's common sense. What's wrong with you? وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ, and you know what's right and wrong. That is also common sense. Somebody doesn't know anything, I will excuse them. You know everything. You should know what to do. You should know better. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all common sense. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all integrity and sincerity and honesty. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to always practice what we learn and practice what we know and practice what we preach. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allah khairan. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.